Chuck Chad, Technorama for Sunday, September 4th, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making this podcast.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors, cardinal gram meters, six hydrocoptic marble veins, conductors and fluxes, prefamulated annulite, malleable logarithmic casing, swerving bearings, panometric fan, Milford trunnions, and the facial lunar wane shaft. Lotus O deltoid type, semi-boloid slots of the stator, drawn reciprocation dingle arm, sinusoidal deplaneration, retroencabulator.
Welcome to Chuck Chat Technorama. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. With me, as always, is my trusty cohort, Craig Stepp.
Hello, Chuck. How you doing tonight?
Chuck Chat Technorama is the show where you get to listen to a twisted pair. Now, that would be us. Yeah. How you doing,
pair
Craig?
I'm doing good, Chuck. How are you?
Well, you know, work. I mentioned a few weeks ago that I had a change of duties at work, and I'm feeling like that episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation where Wesley gets his first assignment for geological studies on the planet and whatever, and he's kind of put in charge of his first leadership role. That's how I'm feeling right now. I should go back and watch that show and see if there's any tips I can pick up from that.
Well, you know, look at it this way. Wesley always saves the day.
Hey, you got something there. Coming up in tonight's show, we will be interviewing
Michael Barnett.
Barnett, yes, thank you. Same as the football player on the Packers.
He's with the New Orleans ISP that's been trying to keep things together down there. I don't know if some of you read about him, but we're going to talk, or their team, but we're going to talk to him a little bit later in the show.
And you've got problems with your cable modem thingy.
Not anymore.
Yay!
Yep. And on a long weekend, too, I may add.
Yes, we can stay up late trying this show over and over again until we get it right.
That's right.
Just for you, the listener. But first, we have to pass on a few words from our sponsor. If you organize conference calls or hold business meetings with remote clients, you can use GoToMeeting to keep everyone on the same page and make your meetings more effective. It's helped our members at TechPodcast.com stay organized, made planning much easier, and saved us time. Best of all, it's affordable for both small and large businesses. GoToMeeting has agreed to let TechPodcast.com listeners try their web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast for your free trial now. Discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold business meetings. On this date in tech history, it was on this date in 1923 in Lakehurst, New Jersey, the first U.S. airship, the USS Shenandoah, takes to the sky for the first time. Also on this date in 1940, the USS Greer becomes the first United States ship fired upon by a German submarine in the war, even though the United States is still a neutral power. Tension heightens between the two nations as a result. In 1949, the maiden flight of the Bristol Brabazon. And in 1951, the first live transcontinental television broadcast takes place in San Francisco from a Japanese peace treaty conference. It was also on this date, September 4th, 1957, the Ford Motor Company introduces the Edsel. And the Forth Road Bridge near Edinburgh officially opens on this date in 1964.
Famous birthdays on this date include Max Delbruch, famous German biologist, who was born on this date in 1906. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history, September 4th, 2005.
Airing his thoughts online since 1985, you're listening to Chuck Tomasi.
We've got listener feedback.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Oh, not that kind of feedback.
No, that was the Charles Stell feedback.
That's right.
This is the Jorga Schrawa feedback, our friend from Belgium.
Cool.
Uber fan number two. Jorga is commenting on three or four things that we had said in recent podcasts. Regarding,
if you're going to get some feedback in, might as well do it all at once, right?
Well, it was all in one email anyway. Regarding Jorga's name, he said, well, my first name was right. Last name wasn't really correct, but close. At least the last try. He goes, ha ha. I think I said it horribly wrong. He'll let us know if we're getting closer. And then he responds about the Belgian waffles. He says, there actually isn't something as a Belgian waffle. We call them... Oh, here we go again. Brussels waffles. Translation? Brussels waffle. Okay, next time you order them, get those. They sound better. Yeah. And he has a comment about Ubuntu Linux. I'm probably not saying that right either.
Ubuntu, that's right.
Ubuntu.
Yeah, it's an African word, actually.
You know, I was going to say that.
It means humanity to others.
Good name for an operating system.
Yeah.
Maybe I should get the long dark wig again. Do it up in dreads or something.
Nah.
Make note that Ubuntu Linux is available in three flavors, x86, AMD64, and PowerPC. I'm really liking that last one. Mm-hmm. He said he got two of each, one in my CD archive, and one x86 I carry with me, and a PowerPC one I carry around in my iBook case. So he's got the whole family of them, it sounds like.
No kidding.
And then we were talking about the ThinkGeek bumper sticker. There's no place like 127.0.0.1.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He said, I prefer to call 192.168.2.4 my home. It works from all my computers.
I guess so.
I like that one even better, actually. You got to be really geeky to know what the heck we're talking about.
No kidding. Hey, if you're not, or what? What are you doing here?
keep listening. We'll clue you in as time goes by. It's kind of like the X-Files. If you jumped in midway through the season, go back.
Yeah.
Make a name for yourself at GoDaddy.com. Reserve your place on the net with your own .com domain or other domain name. And now at GoDaddy, each domain name includes Economy Mail, a $9.95 value free. That's your own personalized email account. Plus, listeners to this show get an additional 10% off any order. Just enter TECH3, that's TECH, and the number 3 is your source code. So head over to GoDaddy.com today. On with the news! Craig, you found a way to get a copy of Linspire for free?
Sort of. Actually, what it was is this guy had made a... hold on a second. Will you please turn that echo off?
Sorry.
God.
I'm a little slow on the controls tonight in case nobody's noticed.
Now, listen what happened. This guy made his own distribution called FreeSpire, which is basically a distribution of Linux where he pulled together applications and the look and a lot of the free stuff that's freely available that's in Linspire. Mm-hmm. Put together a distribution that looks like it. Well, a lot of people misunderstood that and thought that FreeSpire was actually associated with the Linspire people. There was a lot of confusion. He didn't know what to do because he didn't mean it to be that way. I think it was distrowatch.com had picked it up and, you know, it kind of got blown out of proportion. Mm-hmm. So the really cool people at Linspire actually decided, instead of freaking out about this, turn it into something positive. And they said, I think it's up until maybe another day or two from today, you can actually go there and get a free copy of Linspire.
Really?
Yeah, because of the confusion.
Oh, that was a great way for him to do it.
That's right. I thought it was awesome, you know. And I've downloaded FreeSpire, LinSpire, and it's not really my cup of tea for Linux, but it is a great distribution, and I thought it was awesome. It was free. Kind of turned it around in their favor and made everybody happy. I think it was pretty cool.
Now, you found that if you search for browser in Google, the first hit you're going to get is Firefox?
How about that? Isn't that awesome?
Wow. That says a lot about Firefox.
And the other browsers. So, actually, you know, speaking of other browsers, the other day I took advantage of the free offer from Opera.
Mm-hmm.
And downloaded it. I got the key and downloaded a copy of it. It's really pretty good. I was really happy with it. So maybe in our next show I'll talk a little more about Opera.
Do it! Do it!
I think I shall! I will! And coming
Make it
Tuesday,
so, number one.
You got it, boss! Anyway, that was my Riker imitation.
Weird visions of Riker cast changing going on in my head.
Anyway, you know who Robert Kringley is?
He
follows all the tech trends and stuff, and he always has great foresight on his blog and talking about trends and whatnot.
Didn't we talk about him a few weeks ago when we were talking about all the internet TV things?
You know, yeah, you're right. And actually, this is what this is leading into, is Robert Kringley's doing Nerd TV. I did mention that. I think it was about a month and a half
ago. End of July or mid-July something.
Yep, and guess what? Coming Tuesday, it's September, and Nerd TV's coming out.
You had to mention that September is here, didn't you?
Yeah, seems like it's... I mean, it seems like the whole year's flying by.
Amazing what podcasting does, doesn't it?
I know. It seems like it was just last October. But anyway, it's an internet-only show focusing on in-depth interviews with big tech peeps. The peeps in tech.
Peeps. Not those little Easter marshmallow candies, I hope.
Yeah, they eat too many, they'll go right to your waist.
And then we go ahead.
No, I was just going to also talk about, you know, since we've, of course, you can't really ignore talking about New Orleans and what's been going on down there. But this is I think is a pretty cool story. This woman that owns Katrina.com, who has actually had this quite a long time before the hurricane was named Katrina,
mm-hmm.
She has been inundated with offers for thousands of dollars to buy this domain from her. And whoever was trying to buy it, it could be somebody trying to scam or whatever, or maybe somebody legitimate trying to buy this domain. But she kept it, and she set up a site for families to find one another, which I thought was totally awesome that somebody would actually do that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it is an awesome idea. And I've kind of looked at it before the show, and I've got an article pointing to an article talking about it. But, I, of course, Katrina.com, you can go check it out and see everything that's going on there. And speaking of New Orleans...
We both found this article at the same time.
Oh, you saw this too?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to donate a dollar, Clorox will do this on your behalf. You just go there. It doesn't ask for any personal information. Just check the box saying you want to submit a dollar on your behalf and hit the submit, and they will donate a dollar, you know, for your click.
Thank you, Clorox.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. That's great.
Do you want to get those relatives that are always asking you for help with their PCs off your back so that you can get back to Technorama Podcast? Then send them to me at www.typicalpcuser.com, home of the Typical PC User Podcast. Typical PC User Podcast. Help for the rest of us.
Give us a strange story today, Craig.
Well, today when I got up this morning, wait a minute.
I went downtown, looked for a job.
Yeah.
Not that story.
No, not that kind of story. I put this in the strange stories because I thought it was just strange enough to appreciate it, and I thought all you would too. This guy took 8 Apple IIe mainboards, spliced them together, and made a cluster.
How long ago did he do this?
I don't know.
Is this like a 15-year-old article?
15? No, I don't think so.
He just happened to come across a couple of Apple IIe motherboards and put them together
It says the date on there was July 26, 2004, and he revised it this past July. Here, I'll read you the little...
That's a pretty powerful cluster there, Craig. A couple of 1 megahertz machines.
Get 1,000 of those, it'll match this laptop I've got. But listen, this is at the beginning of the article. At the onset, when designing NataNet, that's what it says, I envisioned that it could be used to support parallel computing on Apple II machines. To add more processors and save more space, I decided that I would package several Apple IIe main boards together without keyboards and peripheral slot cards. I didn't disassemble the Apples myself. I found a box of Apple IIe main boards being sold in an auction lot for $1 each. I settled on a wood cube about 1 foot on a side, which I slotted to hold the 8 cards. For whimsical reasons, I called it the Apple Crate. And he even went so far as to write an app that would kick off applications on the Apple IIe and it to make it distributed.
That's pretty cool, actually. That's quite the feat if you think about the technology he's working with.
I think it's an awesome hack. So anyway, he's got pictures and write-ups and the whole thing. And I was like, oh, man, I just got to talk about this on Technorama. This is just perfect geek fodder.
You're listening to the Technorama podcast, and this is Rob from Podcast 411 reminding you to listen different.
Incoming subspace signal.
Rev Tim. Podcast.
Hi, this is Rev Tim from the Rev Tim Podcast and the Godcast Network. I want you to go to podshownotes.com. That's my show notes page for the Rev Tim Podcast. And the reason is because there are 3 links there where you could choose to donate for the charity of your choice to help with the Hurricane Katrina relief efforts. Now, Convoy of Hope, Samaritan's Purse, and the American Red Cross are all featured there on links that you can find at the Rev Tim Podcast show notes page. Just go to podshownotes.com and please give to these victims that are hurting right now.
We're back.
We're back. All right, into our main stories, the meat of the show. I wanted to talk about this New Orleans. I misspoke earlier. It's actually a web hosting firm. They host not just websites, but data management. It's a whole data center down in New Orleans. And they've been trying to keep things together this last week. And you can imagine that's a pretty big feat. Now, I've had to keep my networks up and running for different things, but, you know, it makes their story makes mine sound like, you know.
Walk in the park.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. That's right. Well, I found these guys at an article on Wired.com that started to make the rounds. They have had to deal with getting diesel in for the generators, keeping away from the civil unrest downtown, of course, the storm itself. It's just a phenomenal story. And Friday, after I read this article on Thursday, on Friday I noticed that they actually had links to an IRC chat room. I went in on Friday and logged the just about the whole day's conversation. You can see people coming in offering to help them do stuff and whatnot. So I might make those available if anybody wants to read, you know, IRC logs, which personally are kind of boring, but these are not. This is totally different. And they also had a couple of chat rooms set up for scanner transcriptions for at the Astrodome and in New Orleans. I've
cool.
got some of those too. Yeah. So we'll make those available for you. And we'll also have a log to their blog that talks about it starts off before the storm up until now. And they have tons of pictures and stuff. So actually, and for a treat for all the Technorama listeners, we got Michael Barnett coming up in an interview in just a moment, right after this.
Oh my God. They grow out of those pods.
This is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama. Can you figure out who's the one and who's the zero?
Joining us on the phone now, we have Michael Barnett, who is down in the thick of things in the New Orleans area. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks a lot. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I'm fine. Probably we should be asking you that question.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well here. You know, we have the situation in where we are specifically contained. So the company, DirectMic.com, is now back operating normally, well, as normally as can be in New Orleans. We have, you know, we've had power the whole time that the storm was going on. We kept power after the storm when the rest of the city was knocked out. We've had our servers online the whole time. We account pretty much for 2% of the internet, and if we go down, wow, a lot of other people go down. So,
hmm,
so yeah, we you know, we're making out pretty good here, all things considered.
Wow. So, yeah, that's something I was wanting to ask you about as far as the power goes. You know, I know you guys said you had diesel generators. How are you scheduling diesel deliveries there? That's amazing to me.
Well, first of all, we had a lot of diesel already sitting by. We had a whole secondary tank basically, mm-hmm, full of diesel to fill up the first one with, and we had a bunch of drums. You know, we prepared ahead, not specifically for this hurricane, just generally we stay well prepared here. That's part of, you know, how this company operates. We know that being an internet company, keeping power is probably a second to keeping the internet itself. Keeping power is the most important thing, so we definitely plan for the contingency of long-term power loss.
Sure.
And we don't have regularly scheduled fuel resupplies, but we have managed to get some people in here to resupply us. One of our customers, actually, Data Protection Service, they managed to get us a fuel dump, so that really helped.
Wow, that's amazing. I when I read that, I was like, how am I getting a delivery truck? That's something else.
Michael, how many of you are there, are manning the shop right now?
Well, here we didn't want to give out specific numbers while we were still in the thick things, just for security reasons. It's not a good idea, but since our general area outside now is completely secured by the police, we have a 5-man crew here. I should say a 4-man and 1-woman crew. It was originally, well, one of the guys has been swapped out. Let me go ahead and give you the names. We have Sigmund Solaris, who is the CEO and one of the partner owners of the company. He's he's been here the whole time. And then my fiance Crystal, who ended up being our chef, and she's been here the whole time. I'm the crisis manager. I've been here the whole time. And then Donnie Simonton is he's pretty much the tech guy that's been here the whole time. And then we swapped out a guy named Brian, who was here in conjunction with another company, one of our customers. He took off actually last night or early morning, I forget, and we replaced him with a guy named Kevin, mm-hmm, from another company. And those guys are also tech guys. So there's never really been more than 5 of us here at one time, and at some times there were 4.
Wow. Now, y'all were handling security for yourselves too, right? Weren't y'all breaking up into teams or something?
Yeah, I have some extensive experience with that through the military.
Mm.
I got out several years ago, but you know, some of those old habits never die. And,
sure.
First thing we had to do was secure the building, and that meant a floor-by-floor sweep, and the whole parking garage had to be, you know, swept. And then we had to secure all the entrances and exits and make sure secure, you know, mm-hmm, so nobody could just get in. And part of the problem is that if we run the building's emergency power generator, which isn't the same one that we run for our data center, mm-hmm, if we run that one, people can get in if they have a key card.
Sure.
They can buy. So we had to take into account when we could run the generator or not, and then we also had to have some kind of guard shifts when things were really bad. We haven't had to do some of the more extreme measures lately since, mm-hmm, there's really a show of force out there. But at first, yes, we were providing full security for ourselves, which was obviously the first and most important thing for us to do once the civil unrest started.
Wow.
Is your building in a physically dry area, or are you surrounded by 8 feet of water on all sides?
We are in a physically dry area on Poitras Street. It's 650 Poitras, and we are on the 10th and 11th floors here. So even if it did flood here, our generator is safe and our internet is safe. But we were lucky enough that the flooding stopped about three or four blocks down, Poitras, toward the Superdome from where we are. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even get a few inches of water in this area. So yeah, we were very lucky on that account, no doubt about it.
Hmm. So you said security's changed for the better down there where you're at?
Absolutely. Yeah. The police have a real show of force out in the Central Business District now. In addition to that, most of the people, I know they don't like calling them refugees now. I think the term applies perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, refugees are just a displaced, dispossessed person who no longer resides where he did before, and he's living any way he can, which is basically how they are. I don't think it's a racial term like some people were making it out to be. Anyway, whatever you want to call them, displaced citizens, they've all been pretty much bussed out. And so... So either what you've got, you know, the police are doing very significant shows of force and lots of patrolling on the streets. So really the only people left on the streets besides the police and the National Guard are the contractors trying to restore power to different buildings and different services and the homeless. And, mm-hmm. and by homeless, I mean the homeless that were homeless prior to the hurricane itself.
Oh, you're right.
It always made the streets homes, basically. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so we've really been able to reduce our own personal security because I think they've picked up the slack for us at this point.
Right. Now, something else I read on the blog, I've been following the blog, and Friday after I heard about y'all on Thursday, but when on Friday I was monitoring the IRC channel and logging it, and
right. There
was some interesting stuff on there. One thing I caught part of was I read something about you or some of you guys there fetching someone else's server.
Oh, yeah, we've done that for a few people. There was one incident where we actually brought a router to City Hall. I don't know if that's what you're thinking of, but in addition to that, that was to help them get their communication up and running.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, it's a 27-floor high-rise that we're in, and a lot of the tenants have now asked us if we can go ahead and pull some of their servers and that kind of thing, and they're going to try and send people to come pick them up. But we've also pulled their servers to help them data dump, migrate, I guess is the correct term,
mm-hmm.
to off-site areas by plugging their servers into our network and shooting their data out to them. What was I going to say about that? And in exchange for that, I mean, obviously we wouldn't ask anything of them, but in exchange for that, they've graciously offered to, you know, if they have any supplies in their office, any of these tenants have bottled water or soft drinks or anything, you know, they've offered it to us. So we really appreciate that. Honestly, we haven't really needed it. We already had a massive stockpile of that stuff. It's mm-hmm. still, you know, it's nice to know that people are looking out for you like that.
Oh yeah, I bet there is a bunch of little 5-gallon water bottles around.
Oh yeah, there are a ton.
Yeah. Now, speaking of, you know, supplies like that. How have y'all been eating? I mean, I know in my office there's like in the fridge there's a couple of frozen dinners that people bring in and maybe some crackers around. But what?
we're in a unique position here. This company is absolutely unique, mm-hmm. and the thing that makes it unique is the CEO. Like I said, he's one of the part owners of the company. And he is the managing guy, the CEO, Sigmund Solaris. He has some aspects to his personality that really helped us prepare for this. And one of those is he used to be an Eagle Scout, and I think their motto is something about always being prepared. One of the things he had for this company was about twice a week, the company actually serves lunch for the employees. And I think they use that also as a sort of sit-down time to just, you know, everybody get together and can discuss things. But, you know, so
sure.
the company is supplying lunch. Usually it's hot dogs, hamburgers, that kind of thing. So we had already a stockpile of this stuff. And it's not the kind of stockpile where he buys 2 weeks in advance. Sigmund stockpiles for months in advance. So when I tell you we have bread in the freezers, we have probably 40 loaves of bread.
Oh, my gosh.
We have hot dogs that will last us through the millennia. You know, it's that's how it is. And we have sliced meats. We have of all types. You know, we have canned goods. But like I said, we were in a unique position that since we already fed the employees and since he likes to buy in bulk in advance to begin with, you know, when it's down to a skeleton crew of four or five, we have enough food, really, I mean, to feed a small army up here. And, in fact, we ended up distributing some of that to people heading toward the buses, you know, heading down toward the buses to get shipped out to Dallas or Houston, right, or wherever they went. So, I mean, it's his foresight and his just his nature to prepare, which has really helped us, you know, weather out this storm the way we have.
That's pretty awesome.
You guys could...
Same with the water and soft drinks, too. If I, you know, it's... He has enough Diet Coke, you know, to feed a small army also, and regular Coke and everything else. So, I mean, we were set.
You guys could go on, you could do a tour or a series of seminars on true disaster recovery planning.
No kidding.
Some people suggested that. I mean, I'd love to be able to parlay this into something like that, no doubt about it. You know, that would be great, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
I smell a podcast.
Yeah. How I Made It Through the Flood.
So how long do you anticipate being there?
Okay, well, the way things are going now, we have a major migration that is underway, trying to get all of our critical stuff off-site, across the internet. We don't know when that's going to be done, and we don't know. Basically, we're the crisis management team. We came in and stabilized everything, made sure everything was going all right. I think we're going to be rotated out sometime this week with another crew coming in, but we have to make sure that the crew coming in, it's going to take a couple of days for us to show them everything, how everything works, how the diesel works and all that. Honestly, I would like to think it's going to be around Wednesday. Not that I'm eager to leave. It's hard to leave your city in this condition. You want to stay and do what you can, but I think they're going to mandate the company wants us to get checked by doctors, get a couple of, because we are sleep deprived, I'm not going to lie to you, and part of the reason I may not be as coherent as I should is that we've been functioning on not much sleep for days, for about a week now, and I know they want to get us out, get us some rest, and then maybe rotate us back in when we're back to 100%. So, that would be nice. You know, I don't want to leave, but I do want to get my fiance out of here. So,
sure.
And she's a trooper, and she says she's not leaving unless I go with her. So, you know,
that's
how
cool.
It goes. So, anyway.
That's awesome.
We don't have, I guess I'll say it like Bush says about Iraq. We have no timetable for, you know,
for withdrawal. Well, that's awesome. Well, I noticed a lot of people were helping y'all out, trying to mirror pictures and stuff like that. Is there anything that y'all need? I mean, that we can maybe us or our listeners can help out with.
Honestly, some things are up in the air. You know, we do have to take care of the employees who no longer have homes, no longer are going to be coming into this office, that kind of thing. We're trying to place people around the country with, you know, living facilities and that kind of thing, and we did ask for help on that front. As far as, you know, I don't think we need any more mirroring of anything, and I don't think we need any physical locations anymore to move our data to. I really think we just need to take care of our employees. So, you know, there is a post on the blog about that from Noah, who is one of the owners, and if people want to read that post, and if they can help out in any way with the employees, you know, that would be very much appreciated.
Okay.
Other than that, I think we pretty much got things well on hand.
Cool. Well, we'll definitely put a link to that in the show notes, and we'll pass that along. So, yeah, cool. Hey, listen, we really appreciate it, Michael, and I have to say it's a pretty amazing story when I first saw you guys. So, you know, I guess keep on keeping on.
Well, we appreciate that too, Craig and Chuck, and it's just amazing the outpouring of support that we've had around the country. And we had no idea it was going to turn into this. Basically, we came here to do our job, and in the process, we got some footage and some pictures, and the next thing we know, the whole world's watching and using us as a primary news source, and they've been just, the support out there is unbelievable, and it really restores your faith in humanity when, you know, in the face of the civil unrest and the looting, we're sitting here getting an outpouring of support like that, and I mean, we just want to thank the whole world and let them know we appreciate all the support and all the help and all the prayers and the love and the well wishes that we've received since this ordeal started. And
awesome.
It's really helped morale a lot.
That's awesome.
Get some rest, Michael.
That's right. Take a nap.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, have
thank
a good
you.
One.
Yep.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Attention podcasters and portable audio and video enthusiasts. The Podcast and Portable Media Expo is November 11th and 12th, 2005, in Southern California at the Ontario Convention Center. Walk the exhibit hall and demo the latest hardware and software tools for creating podcasts. Hear from audio engineers about how they record and edit their own audio files, and attend classes on how to promote your podcast and attract paying sponsors. Register today at www.podcast.com. Expo.com.
Geek Thoughts.
If a train station is where a train stops, what's a workstation?
Tonight's Sunday night, and Sunday night means it's time to feature another tech podcast site of the night, of the week. This week, it's
the Typical PC User Podcast.
With Victor Cahill. He's doing show number 50 this coming Wednesday, September 7th. Victor's got a great show, and he does an awesome job of explaining all sorts of concepts that, frankly, many of us seasoned veterans sometimes seem to take for granted. He's got several prizes to give away on show number 50, including one ticket to the Podcast and Portable Media Expo, which you just heard the ad a moment ago, and Craig and I will be attending. That's a $200 value. To be eligible to win that prize, however, you do need to sign up for his mailing list before this coming Wednesday. Thanks for all the hard work, Victor, and good luck with the next 50 shows. You can give a listen to Victor's show at typicalpcuser.com.
Hi, this is Matt from OzPodcaster.com. Join me and my co-host Paul Willich from Idaho, USA, as we crack open a beer and talk about all the latest IT and telecommunications news. Software, hardware, and the latest websites reviewed. Join us on OzPodcaster.com.
That's going to wrap it up for us, Craig.
Yeah, that was an awesome show. That interview was great. I cannot express to Michael how much I appreciate him coming on.
Yes, thank you very much, Michael, and best of luck to you down there in the wetlands.
That's right. And the big easy.
The big swimming pool now. No, we wish everybody the best of luck down there. All humor aside, that's a terrible situation, and if you haven't already done so, go to one of those charitable sites like redcross.org and donate. They make it real easy. Click on the big red button, and there's various levels of contribution you can give there.
Cool. All right. Well, you can get in touch with us at the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com and me at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. And please visit the website, chuckchat.com, for links to in the show and our webcam. Definitely check out the webcam. We might have a chat room on there now. And so there's a lot of fun.
Thank you, everybody. Big binary high five. 101.
See ya.
How was that?
All right.